make a difference here. It's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE Today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for making the Refresh radio program part of your day. We do pray that you are having a blessed day and enjoy the holiday season. Don't get stressed out. Don't overcommit yourself. And, you know, I think what happens is a lot of times we end up cramming more stuff into an already busy agenda. And here's something that I have discovered through the years, and that is that eventually there's a price to pay. And whenever we cram more stuff in, eventually our body says, okay, it is time for us to rest the way that God wants us to rest. And so I encourage you to do that, to make some time. If you are throwing, you know, participating in parties and throwing parties and all that sort of stuff, don't ignore your own physical well-being. You need that rest. You need to be at your best. And so just a little word of wisdom there. In fact, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we canceled our Sunday night service. And when my daughters, who do our Facebook video announcements, they said, look, we're not having service that Sunday night. We're not sure why we're not having service Sunday night, but Pastor says we're not, and so we're not. We normally have Sunday night services at 6:30. About 35 to 40 a year is what we have. And the very first person that walked into church that Sunday morning I was talking to, or one of the first people that I was talking to, and they were talking about how they'd had family in town, and with all the shopping and all the meal prep and all of that sort of stuff, they were absolutely exhausted. And this is first thing of a morning. And I just looked at them and said, and that's why I canceled the Sunday night service. You know, when I was younger and first came to pastor the church, we didn't necessarily think about all of those things. It's some wisdom that I've gained through the years to realize that, you know, people are already running busy lives. Young parents are, I've got some people that I know, they've got several kids, and they said that our kids have different functions almost every night of the week. These people don't come to Merritt Assembly of God. They're just people that I know. They said, we are running almost every single night of the week. And so whenever life is operating on very thin margins and then you throw something else on there, it adds stress to an already heavily run engine. So do take time to rest when you can, and make sure that you enjoy the time with your family that you have. You never know when that situation will change. So I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They recently came out and did some work for us electrically at the church. There were some light fixtures, and what they did, there was nothing wrong with the fixture themselves, but the technology inside the fixture was ready to be updated. It was old enough that it was breaking down year after year after year, and so they came out, and the technology they installed in those units, they took the old technology out, they put the new technology in. And here's what that does. That's going to save us money in the long run. They took something that was using hundreds of watts, and they installed LED light bulbs inside them that are using about 25% of the electrical usage, putting out the same sort of illumination that we had before, but they're doing it with much less electricity. And looked at the time frame on the bulbs. With the old technology, we were having to replace the bulbs every year and a half, or 2 years. And these bulbs that they installed, it says that their expected lifespan on them is roughly 47 years. And that's running just a few hours a night. But I said, you know, if you double that, if you it's still 20 to 25 years. If you, that's a money saving thing. I like spending money that is going to pay for itself in the long run. And so Wyrick Air Heat and Electric are the ones that took care of that for us, and they can provide the expertise and the skill that you need for whatever is operating around your house. So give them a call, 321-632-9538. They will treat you honestly, fairly, and reasonably priced. And so I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538. Yesterday we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We did not get all the way through that passage as we're discussing the will of God. Let me just say this about the will of God. It's God's will. A lot of times we in society are used to everybody having a will, but not really giving too much consideration to one person's will over another. This is God we're talking about. And so when you start thinking about the will of God, you need to realize that God is looking out for your best interest. He's not looking to hinder you. He's not looking to limit you. He is looking to set you up to succeed. A lot of people try and produce statements that will differentiate and help people to understand the difference between God and the devil. First of all, they are not equals. Satan is a defeated foe, and Jesus is the conquering king. It wasn't a touch-and-go battle, and God came out barely in the end. It was a complete and total one-sided, lopsided victory. So some people have said the easiest way to remember is that God is good and the devil is bad. And that is true. That is true. God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's got the power to do anything. And the devil is he's limited in his scope, limited in his abilities. So I'm thankful for that. But one of the things that I realized years ago is that God likes to set people up to succeed, where the devil likes to set people up to fail. God operates in full disclosure, and the devil operates in a concealed manner. He doesn't disclose the fine print. If you ever tried to read the fine print on some of the commercials on television, it's virtually impossible to do. You almost have to pause the screen, hit your DVR feature if you got that, and break out the magnifying glass so that you can see the fine print that is on some of those disclosures telling you why the deal you think you're looking at is not actually the deal you think you're looking at. So God likes to set you up to succeed. So when we're talking about the will of God, if we want to rotate the perspective a little bit, let's look at it and say, you know what? If I want the best quality of life that I can have, what I need to do is say yes to the will of God. And so we talked on those things yesterday. Now, they are drastically different. The will of God is markedly different than the permissive things of the world. See, a lot of people want to define manhood and maturity by the world standards, and I want to tell you that anybody can act like a spoiled brat toddler. Anybody can do it. It doesn't take any special skills whatsoever. It takes no special skills to throw a temper tantrum. It takes no special skills to be selfish. It takes no special skills to try and manipulate people. It takes no special skills to be immoral. It takes boldness. It takes the power of God. It takes a great deal of self-restraint to be able to live a godly, sanctified, and holy life. That's the reality of it. You want a real man, you want a real woman, then you find someone who's living for God and is very concerned about the will of God, and you will find that person is not going to be a liability in your life. They are going to be an asset in your life. So, on to verse number 16 today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's just stop there for right now. This says that we are supposed to have a constant manifestation of rejoicing in our lives. There are a lot of people who go around and sadness tends to dominate their personality. Despair tends to dominate their personality. Disappointment, the bondages of their life. But we are the born again children of the Most High God. We have been redeemed by the Lamb. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is what we are supposed to use as our basis for rejoicing in the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are characteristics of the kingdom of God, and we should not diminish those things. A lot of people want to rejoice whenever spiritual breakthrough happens, whenever there's a victory, whenever there's a healing, whenever there's a deliverance, a stronghold being broken. But I want to remind you what Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 10, and it's in verse number 18, and he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Excuse me. Your names are written in heaven. And that's the greatest reason to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because you know that anything that God makes is going to be good. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be bad things that happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where lots of people make very bad choices. People do things to harm one another. There's transitions. There's children moving away. There's people that die on a daily basis. But it is still the day that the Lord has made. And so I can look at this day and say, you know what? In spite of the fact that this happened, I had a situation that happened about a week and a half ago. It was the Monday after Thanksgiving, and I get up out of bed. I've had a wonderful night of sleep, and before, I've even had an opportunity to, how do I want to say it? Before I've even had an opportunity to clear my thoughts, I was greeted with a crisis. Nobody else was home, so it wasn't a family crisis or anything like that. Nobody had said anything to me, but as soon as I wake up, bam, there's a crisis. And, you know what, it, it, uh, is still the day that the Lord has made. You don't rejoice just because you don't have a crisis. You rejoice because God loved you enough to say, you know what? I want you to spend eternity with me forever. And so rejoice always. That doesn't mean, and I'll talk about, let me just hold that thought for here for just a moment. It says, pray without ceasing. There's a number of things that we are to do on a constant basis. If you go back up to verse number 14, it's verse number 15, it says, always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. That doesn't mean that you take a day off. It doesn't mean that you just do that when you're in church. Here it says you rejoice always. Then the next verse 17, says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means that you're supposed to do that on a regular basis. Now, a lot of people listen to this program as they're driving down the road. And whenever I tell anybody that we're supposed to pray without ceasing, I've always liked to make this clarification. If you're driving down the road, you can pray with your eyes open. God hears prayers that you pray with your eyes open. He knows what you have need of. But here a couple of years ago, there was a news article about a lady, and she was driving down the road and she was praying and she closed her eyes and it didn't end well. It ended up in an accident. And so I want to encourage you, if you're driving down the road, there are two truths. One is you can pray and drive at the same time. That lady that I was talking about before, that happened to be down in South Florida. And when you're driving in South Florida, you do pray when you drive. You pray, God, don't let that person come over into this lane. Don't let this person come over to this lane. It is a harrying driving experience. I do not enjoy it whatsoever. It is a massive traffic jam with people going way, way too fast as far as I'm concerned. Too many people all headed in the same direction. But you can pray while you're cleaning house. You can pray while you are working. You know, they tried to ban prayer in school, and there's a saying among youth pastors, as long as there are tests in school, there will be praying. Oh, God, help me on this test. I actually had a teacher that told my daughter's class when she was in middle school, said, look, don't bother praying for your test. And her friend, they told me about it. And I scheduled a meeting with the teacher. And I said, you know, we're trying to instill in our children the great blessing it is to talk to God. And why are you in her class telling her not to pray? He said, well, you know, too many people, they don't study, and they just want to pray for a miracle download from heaven. And it's like, well, look, please don't tell my daughter not to pray, because she is very interested in praying. She is studying. He knew that she studied. And when we pray, God, help me pray, or help me to remember the things that I've studied. You can pray in school. You can pray while you're doing dishes. You can pray in the grocery store. You don't even have to be praying out loud. You can be just walking down the aisle. I'm a person that loves to walk and pray. It actually helps keep my mind focused and engaged and less prone to chasing distracting thoughts as I'm laying there trying to, or kneeling there trying to communicate with God. You and I, we're not just supposed to pray when there is a crisis. We are not just supposed to pray when we need wisdom. It's not supposed to be an us-centered prayer life. It is supposed to be a prayer life that is focused on God. Pray without ceasing. And I will also tell you this, prayer is not just my voice communicating with God, it is God communicating with me. And so if you happen to be, you know, in prayer in your prayer closet, if you're praying at the altar, if you're praying while you're driving, if you're praying while you are doing dishes or shopping or whatever, you need to be listening for God. I shared a testimony a couple of weeks ago at church about a commercial airline pilot who happened to be a Christian, who as he was getting his plane ready to depart on a trip, he heard God say to him, I need you to get this plane up in the air much quicker. Don't wait for your departure time. Ask if you can leave now, and you need to hurry. And the result, and he ended up leaving, I believe it was 3 minutes early. And as he was taxiing down the runway, and he taxied down the runway much quicker than he normally does, there was an earthquake that was beginning to happen, and the plane was vibrating. And if he had even delayed a few seconds, the plane would have suffered devastating loss. There had been hundreds of lives that would have been lost. So praying without ceasing is not just about talking, but about listening. Look at John from the book of Revelation. His testimony was, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was all by himself. He had one responsibility when he went to the Isle of Patmos, and that was to die. And instead, God spoke to him there, ministered to him there, and there was a blessing to the church because John prayed without ceasing. Verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I want you to look at that, and I'm going to try and help today, because there are a lot of people who misunderstand that. So let me tell you a story from when I was in Texas. I was driving 81 miles each way to work. We'd bought a car so that my wife could have a vehicle to drive the 4 miles to work out in the country. There were no buses. It was a town of 500 people. And then I drove 81 miles to each way to work. And I performed a wedding, and I bought a car for $50. They gave me $50, and turned out they had an old junker car that was there, and it ran it. So I turned around, and I bought the car from them for the same amount of money they gave me for doing the wedding. And that car ended up being the vehicle we drove to Florida. It all it needed was an oil change and a rear window. And 1 week I had 4 flat tires, one tire after the other separated. They were great tires. They were Michelin tires. They had just sat for so long. They had plenty of tread on them, but they had dry rotted, and this is the first time I'd ever encountered that. And so that Sunday I showed up for church, and the pastor said, well, how have you been this week? And I said, I had 4 flat tires this week. And he said, praise God. And by this time I had come to understand the pastor that I worked for there enough to know, okay, he's got a perspective here. And I said, okay, I need you to help me to understand. Why am I praising God for 4 flat tires? He said, praise God, you've got a car that runs that you could have 4 flat tires on. And I realized, you know what? He's right. By the time I put 4 new tires on there, I now had a working car that was a blessing to my family, that I probably had less than $500 involved in the car. The air conditioning worked, the heater worked, everything worked in it. It was, and it ended up being a great, great vehicle. I didn't have to give thanks because I had four flat tires, but I could find something to thank God for. Paul and Silas on their first missionary journey. Silas, you know, this is his first trip. Paul's already been on some of these trips. He's already faced some persecution. And they deliver this girl from a demonic spirit. She was in bondage. She was being used by other people. She was basically in slavery. And they end up in jail. They end up being beaten. But they did not let that experience stop them from giving thanks. They had a praise and worship service in jail at midnight. And an earthquake happened. All the jail cells flew open. All of the chains fell off. But it wasn't for them to get out. It was for the jailer and his household to be saved. And when that jailer got saved, the wounds that they had in their life were tended to, because all of a sudden this jailer had an opportunity. We don't always give thanks for the bad things that happen, but we can thank God that the bad things have an expiration date. They cannot deter us from an eternity with God. I had a person in Texas. He was 42 years old. He died of a terminal brain tumor. And every time you talk to him and said, "How are you doing today?" he said, "I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord." Some person came to church and they said, "Man, that is the happiest person that I've ever met over there. I wish I didn't have any problems in my life. I could rejoice the same way that he rejoices. I could give thanks the same way that he rejoices." What they didn't know was that somebody had defrauded him and he had lost his business. He lost his house. And he was dying of a terminal brain tumor, but none of that was going to stop him from daily giving thanks to God. If you've got sickness in your body, you don't have to give thanks for the sickness, but you can thank God that he has provided healing, that he's provided medical care, and that there's going to come a time when this mortal body is going to become an immortal body, a body that sickness and disease will not affect. People have treated you badly. You can thank God that he treats you wonderfully. If people have stolen something from you, you can thank God that other people have blessed you more than the others have stolen from you. God is not a debtor to any person. And so today I want to remind you, it is the will of God for us to pray, to give thanks, and to rejoice at all times. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Tell me what's going on inside of me.